Kaffee in seiner besten Form. Mit Cubo wird jeder Kaffee auf Knopfdruck zum Genussmoment. Denn mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo genießt du feinsten Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Vollmundige Aromen dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie und über 17 Sorten Kaffee für jeden Geschmack. Erlebe Premium-Kaffee schon ab 29 Euro. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
Stu does America.
Welcome to the show. We've got a great one for you. Dave Landau is here to help me figure out if Gwyneth Paltrow is a sexual predator. Maybe she is. Democratic leadership is having a ball, stabbing each other in the back, and you know what? I am totally here for that. We'll get into that as well. We're going to start by doing the Tesla flashpoint. Ah, what an interesting time we live in. A fascinating world is right in front of us. Just waiting for us to dive into it. Teslas were set on fire with Molotov cocktails, say Las Vegas police. Now, look, we knew the resistance was there with Donald Trump. Anything Donald Trump said would cause, the opposite thing to happen on the left, right? Like, this is standard level analysis of Trump derangement syndrome, right? No matter what Trump says, they will do the opposite. Now, that's always something that we've said on the right, right? And it's been true really since he came down the escalator in 2015. However, like, you wondered if there was limits to it, right? Like, for example, if we took an environmental superhero, a guy who changed the world with his electric cars, and Donald Trump became friends with him, would they hate him? And we all know by now the answer is yes, but we are now at the point where they are now saying the thing to do to prove your Democratic left-wing credentials is to resist the sale of electric vehicles. This is how insane the world is. You think I'm kidding? This is what they spray painted on the front of a Tesla dealership in Vegas. Resist. They are now resisting electric vehicles. Donald Trump could be the most dynamic president of all time. And the way he does it is he just starts adopting, at least in words, not in actions, left-wing things so that the left comes out and hates all of those things. And at the last second, we switch gears before they can handle it. And we just go the opposite direction and pass everything we've ever wanted. That's the path to success for Donald Trump. Here is, by the way, the video of all of this is from the Las Vegas Review Journal. You see four, five, six Teslas on fire, one exploding there. Just horrible that they are doing this to Teslas around the country. For what? I mean, again, if you actually care about the environment, if you believe it's the greatest existential threat we face, global warming, we need electric vehicles, you wouldn't attack Tesla. You certainly wouldn't light a bunch of batteries on fire. My understanding of that is it's not great for the environment. But who knows at this point? Here is the aftermath, by the way. Tesla's just absolutely destroyed, totaled, obviously can't be sold, no way to rehab. Certainly the black one there, that's not happening. It's very, very, it's a scary situation. I would assume if you have a Tesla, I'm not a Tesla owner myself, but if you are a Tesla owner, we're seeing cars get keyed. We're seeing spray painted on them. It's a lot of it's lower level than setting them all on fire, thankfully, at this point. But I think it's just going to increase from here on out. And if you happen to be, especially as Cybertruck owners, they seem to be the most central victim of this right now. It is really, really scary. Now, Pam Bondi has come out and she says this is domestic terrorism. She says steep consequences are possible. The swarm of violent attacks on Tesla property is nothing short of domestic terrorism, said Pam Bondi. We will continue investigations that impose severe consequences on those involved in these attacks, including those operating behind the scenes to coordinate and fund these crimes. An important thing there. Very, very unlikely. Very unlikely that there's just a bunch of 22-year-olds who decided they were going to throw Molotov cocktails at Tesla dealerships. What we find out in, dare I say, all cases when this is going on is there is a bunch of funding coming from left-wing organizations, typically funded at some level by George Soros, but not always, just almost always. But there's always some left-wing group with money behind this who's saying, oh, you need to do this, you need to do this. And shockingly, you find out these people work there. They were volunteers of these organizations who just suddenly, even though they were very poor and had no money, suddenly came out with, you know, $10,000 to launch a terrorism attack against one of these organizations. It is a very standard story with funding on the left. We will eventually, might take years, but we'll eventually get to the bottom of it and find out exactly who was funding these things. Hopefully, Pam Bondi is on that right now. Now, you might hear the term domestic terrorism and say, it's going pretty far, right? Like, domestic terrorism is a serious charge. This is some property damage. I don't know if you're saying that. That's not what I'm saying, but a lot of people would look at it that way, especially people maybe on the left. The definition of domestic terrorism is important here. Let me describe it to you. The term domestic terrorism means activities that, A, involve acts dangerous to human life that are a violation of criminal laws of the United States or of any state, and B, appear to be intended, one, to intimidate or coerce a civilian population, two, to influence the policy of a government by intimidation or coercion, three, to affect the conduct of the government by mass destruction, assassination, or kidnapping. So what you see there is, let's take the second part of that first. Second part, absolute textbook version of domestic terrorism, right? Again, I'll go through it. To intimidate or coerce a civilian population, yes, they want to scare the right. They want the right to be terrified and to turn on Elon Musk. To influence the policy of a government by intimidation or coercion. 100% what is going on here. They're not burning these cars because they think they're bad for the environment, right? Which is what they used to do. We'll get into that here in a second. What they're doing instead is they're going after Elon Musk. And because he's trying to cut government spending and laying off government workers, they're trying to terrorize him. What they want is him to be intimidated to leave government and stop doing what he's doing. This is fundamental domestic terrorism, that part of the definition. The other part of the definition does leave a little bit of gray area here. And the main part, which is really, really important, is the beginning of this. Acts that involve things that are dangerous to human life and are a violation of a criminal law. So we know it's a violation of the criminal laws. The only real question here is it dangerous to human life? Now, if you light a bunch of Teslas on fire and an unoccupied parking lot, you might say that's not dangerous to human life. First of all, that's hilarious coming from the global warming people. When you stop electric vehicles from going on the road, I thought global warming caused all this death. When you're putting all this pollution in the air, I thought that led to death. So I'm pretty sure by your definition that it has absolutely endangering human lives. Secondarily, fire, a little bit unpredictable. It's been pretty notable over the years that sometimes fires get a little bit out of control and wind up taking lives that aren't necessarily obvious to people. We also have firefighters who are coming to put these fires out. They're putting themselves in danger, especially around exploding vehicles. So I would argue absolutely this puts danger to human life. Some of these actions you might be able to get away with, avoiding that term. Still, though, hefty penalties apply to people who do this type of damage. It breaks a bunch of other laws for sure. So even if you can't get them on the highest charge of domestic terrorism, which I think you can, there are plenty of other charges, and these people should be found. It's also important to note, this is not new from the left. This is what they do. When they don't get their way, they decide to destroy. They are terrorists, domestic terrorists, waiting to be activated by them not winning an election. That is who the left is. We saw all this stuff happening during the Trump administration. A lot of it died down. During the Biden administration, the only time it really flared up was around Israel and Palestine when Joe Biden, who is no big supporter of Israel, was seen as too positive for Israel. But look back. This is not new. When they don't get what they want, when they say, you know, animals are being tested on too much, you get the Animal Liberation Front. Do you remember them? The Animal Liberation Front, a domestic extremist group, a terrorist group. Animal Liberation Front, or ALF, not the lovable, huggable character from the sitcom, far-left extremist group focused on animal rights. The group originated in the UK, has a presence in 40 countries around the world. The United States ALF has claimed responsibility for arson and vandalism against animal research facilities, farms, restaurants, and other businesses the group considers harmful to animals. Their sort of sister group that came on a little bit later was ELF, not Will Ferrell, but the Earth Liberation Front. Earth Liberation Front eco-terrorist group made up of autonomous cells that carry out attacks on those the group accuses of damaging the environment. ELF emerged in 1992 in England, offshoot of the British Earth First movement. ELF began operations in the U.S. A decade later, 1996, arson attack on the U.S. forest truck in Oregon. Now you think, okay, I remember kind of a little bit about that, but come on. I mean, they weren't that big of a deal. Were they not? Let me give you Eco-Violence, The Record. This is actually from the SPLC, which is no friend of conservatives. Let me give you just some of their attacks here. Really, let's show the attacks on the screen, because these are great, and we'll go through them as we go. They're moving quickly, but April 1985, ELF raided a laboratory in California Riverside, causing $700,000 in damage. 1989, set fire to Veterans Administration Hospital, $500,000 in damage. 1989, ELF destroyed records and smashed computers, $700,000 in damage at Texas Tech. 1992, ELF members, $1.2 million fire in Michigan State University's Research Center. 1997, the ELF, they put the left butyric acid, a foul-smelling chemical, in a McDonald's and spray-painted McMurder and McDeath, which is just fun to say. 1997, ELF and ELF used napalm, which they referred to as vegan jello, to destroy the Cavill West horse slaughtering plant. 1998, ELF and ELF claim responsibility for arson. The U.S. Department of Agriculture Damage Control Building. 1998, in Vail, ELF burned down the Vail Associates ski facility, destroying seven structures valued at more than $12 million. 1999, ELF firebombed Big Apple Circus Ventures. 1999, listen to this one. ELF faction known as the Justice Department took credit for sending over 80 razor blade laced envelopes, each containing a threatening letter with a picture of a bomb on it, to animal researchers, and on and on and on and on and on and on and on. March 30th, 2001, this is a good one, 30 SUVs, sound familiar at all? Lit on fire, caused about $1 million in damage. ELF said the attack was in support of Jeff Free Lures, who was serving a 23-year prison sentence. Why? Because he had torched cars at the same dealership. And now Tesla's happening. These groups eventually, they didn't go away, but they're less active than they were. Why? Well, you can see the era they were. I just mentioned March 30th, 2001. May 2001, they had a $5.6 million fire. And then September 20th, 2001, ELF claimed $1 million fire at the White Sands Research Center. The problem there is people kind of turned on the terrorism thing in 2001 for some unrelated reason. But this is a serious thing, and it's what the left does all the time. That's what's important to remember. Think back to the summer of George Floyd. This is the same tactic. They're doing the same thing. We don't get what they want is part one of the equation. Part two, we start lighting stuff on fire. This is the left. This is who they are. This is not some crazy thing that has to do with Elon Musk. This is a fundamental building block of left-wing thought. And it will continue and continue as long as we try to make things sane again and Donald Trump tries to make America great again. All right, let's talk about being prepared. This past weekend, over 120 tornadoes tore through 11 states, leaving widespread damage. Homes were destroyed, power was knocked out, and for many, access to basic necessities became a serious challenge. Now, you can't stop a tornado, but you can control how ready you are when disaster strikes. And one thing that you don't want to be scrambling for in a crisis is medicine. That's why you need a Jace case. It's a personalized emergency kit with five life-saving antibiotics to treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. In a situation where hospitals are overwhelmed or supply chains are down, having this in your home could make all the difference. They even have ivermectin as an add-on if you would like it. So go to Jace.com. They've got a big giveaway going on right now. You can enter or just pick up your very own Jace case. Use the promo code STU at checkout for a discount. Promo code is STU at Jace.com. Jase.com, promo code STU. It's Jace.com, promo code STU.
Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso Steuer.
I'm joined now by Dave Landau, comedian and host of Normal World right here on Blaze TV. He's also author of the upcoming book, Party of One, which is coming your way on April 3rd. You can pre-order your copy right now. Dave, how's it going?
Good. How about you, sir?
Very well. I want to bring to your attention the cover of Vanity Fair. Now, I know you're a subscriber.
Yes, I get every issue.
You do, okay.
Yes, I try to have them signed by the authors.
You're not even going to the website. You're getting the actual paper version.
I want to keep it.
Yes.
I put them in a fireproof safe. Just so
it's history.
Yeah, if anything goes in my house, I'll still have my Vanity Fairs.
Yeah, I actually do have one. This is bizarre you bring that up. I actually do have one copy of Vanity Fair, one actual issue of Vanity Fair that I bought for historical purposes. It's true. It's not just for the pictures. It was the issue where they had this fawning profile of Assad's wife.
Really?
Yes. Like, it's this glorious, like, the new face of the Middle East. And it's like.
Aren't they allowed to not show them?
Right. I know. Right. Yeah, you'd think. And they had this, like, they're making her out to be this big celebrity. They want to make her into this thing.
Yeah.
Where, like, you know, the evil right in America, they don't like these people in the Middle East, but look how evolved they are now. And, like, they're glamorous and everything. It was, like, this big spread. All these incredible photographer, and then like a month later they just started gassing all their citizens,
right
so
that's a big part of it.
I was like, I gotta have this. It's been like wiped off the internet,
of course.
But that's
a good one to keep.
I think so, right?
I
gotta bring that in someday. Okay, this is not I don't think Gwyneth Paltrow is going to gas anyone anytime soon. Although with Goop, it's possible. I will say it is.
Yeah,
and one of those candles could do it.
One of her vagina candles could definitely possibly clear a room. You don't know.
I don't want to know. There's certain things I don't want to know in life. You know, there's too much knowledge. Is there such a thing as too much to know?
Well, yeah. And if it just smells like peppermint, it's like, who do you think you are?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Guess what? All of her ex-boyfriends are like, no.
This isn't it.
That is not it. I remember it, and it is not that. It's not like Trident. It is not.
It's like Red Lobster.
Yeah.
Sorry.
This is how they went bankrupt, you know. It's because of people like you making
it is.
Like
that's
that.
True. Because it was always so quality.
It was high quality.
You know, well, look, the biscuits were good.
There we go. They are good, by the way.
They are. But you go to a lobster place and you're like, you know, it's good. The bread.
Yes, that's.
Yeah, that's why they're not
a sign that they pulled some of the lobster out of the local pond nearby the restaurant, and it happens to be in like Des Moines.
Yes.
So that maybe not the best source for lobster.
Yeah, or the river in Austin where they keep drowning the homosexuals and nobody's doing anything about it.
Wait,
have you not heard of this?
Wait, no.
There's a serial killer in Austin. They found like 50 bodies inside of this
50?
River. 50? Yes, in a river. It's all like gay dudes and nobody's doing anything about it. I'm serious.
What do you mean nobody's doing anything about
it? Like nobody's looking for the guy.
What do you mean nobody's looking for the guy?
There's no like clue of who he is. They're just ignoring it. Like it's not making the press or anything. But there's
how do you know it? Were you involved?
I know. But no, it's just a thing that everybody kind of knows now. Like you can look up the story. It's Lake. I'm blanking on it. We were talking about it last night on our show. But yeah, they found a ton of bodies, and it's like bodies just keep washing up, and the people nobody's like looking. I mean, maybe somebody's on the case, but they're really bad at it.
I mean, if you get to 50, I would say,
yeah,
you're not doing such a good job.
You're not even sitting there at the lake waiting for a guy to drive up with a corpse or drown him.
Right.
You're just not doing your job
at all. Should at least put a camera on the lake at this point,
There's a serial killer. So, I mean, if you're a guy, walk in pairs because there's assumptions being made about you.
I guess so.
Yes.
This is, first of all, is going to be a huge true crime podcast. That's definitely going to happen.
Yes, there's a middle-aged white woman who's going to make a fortune off of this story.
Yes, for sure. Next time you're on, we have to go into this more because I did not know the story at all.
We should, yeah.
There's a lot going on in the world. I feel like I miss a lot of stuff these days.
Yep.
And yet, with 50 people found in a pond, I'm going to give you a story about Gwyneth Paltrow on the cover of Vanity Fair. Here she is. She is on the cover of Vanity Fair. I kind of thought she had stopped acting. I didn't. Like, I thought she was now just making weird products out of tree bark that you're supposed to massage under your scalp.
Yeah, or doing, like, a black and white commercial that only airs in Japan.
Right.
Something bizarre.
It's a different era of life.
Yeah.
The Taylor Swift Eras Tour. She's in the one where she's not doing any acting. That's what I thought.
Yes, I agree.
Apparently not true.
No, I guess she's out there, huh?
Yeah, so here we go. This is it. She's in, apparently, in a movie with Timothy Chalamet. What do you think of
of Timmy.
I think he's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it.
Good actor.
Good actor, I guess. Yeah, yeah, seems all right.
I feel like Hollywood is desperately trying to make him into a thing.
They really are. I like it. He's short, and so am I, so I'm kind of okay. Like, yeah, you should star him up.
So you're saying there's a lot of similarities between you and Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah, that's, like, that's I like the point. Dinklages of Hollywood
okay, yeah.
and the Chalamets.
Dinklages
isn't he Hollywood. Like 5'2 or something?
Yeah, he's not very tall.
No.
Which is an interesting profile for the guy that's supposed to be the new movie star. Like,
right.
That's who he is. Like, they want... It's so hard now, and there's no movie stars left except for old-timey people, right? Like Tom yeah. Cruise and, you know...
He's short. So's Hoffman.
Okay, yeah.
So is Al Pacino.
You have a whole argument built on
it. Yeah, look, I've...
Did you argue this in front of the Supreme
Court?
I'm
5'6". I've had to defend my honor.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. This is something you... This is an argument formed over a lifetime.
It is, sure. Yeah, where I'm like, hey, Al Pacino's short, guys, right?
Yeah.
And he's made everything good.
See, there you go. I like it. She is making an argument here, which is fascinating to me, because it's something that I feel like if the genders were reversed, we'd have a much different opinion on this.
Okay.
Let me give this to you. She says, I mean, we have a lot of sex in this movie between her and Timothy Chalamet. There's a lot. Filming sex scenes with Chalamet introduced Paltrow to an intimacy coordinator for the first time, although she didn't appear to need one after decades in Hollywood. She says, quote, there's now something called an intimacy coordinator, which I did not know existed, noting that when Marty Supreme's intimacy coordinator asked her if she'd be comfortable with a particular move during the filming of an intimate scene, I was like, girl, I'm from the era where you get naked, you get in bed, and the camera's on. That's an interesting era.
Oh, that is an... Also, how did you not know this existed? Harvey Weinstein gave her the career she has.
Yeah.
You don't know why there's an intimacy coordinator on right. set now?
Yeah.
It's because of what he did to you.
Right. Yeah. Was she one of the women in that?
I don't think so, but like she benefited from it. She got like the Shakespeare in Love Oscar that he put her in that film.
Right.
Yeah.
But she didn't necessarily, was she accusing him? Was she one of the accusers?
I don't think so.
Okay, I think
she was like, I've never heard of it. I think she was very much in defense of why. I'm going to flat out say it. She loves Harvey Weinstein.
That's official.
Loves
that's an official statement from the desk of Dave Landau.
I bet you she said it. A
lot of people said it back in the day.
Oh, they did.
She goes on. She says, I think we're good. You can step back a little bit, Paltrow added, not relying on an intimacy coordinator with Chalamet. I don't know how it is for kids who are starting out, but if someone's like, okay, then he's going to put his hand here, I would feel as an artist very stifled by that. Paltrow joked that she cut right to the chase after filming sex scenes with Chalamet. I was like, okay, great. I'm 109 years old and you're 14. That's an interesting way to put it. I wouldn't put it that way.
Well, I mean, if you do look at the age gap, the only way that he should be in her is if they're cutting a cord. really no reason that should happen. What's the movie about? Is it just like a kid and his teacher?
I don't know. That's a good question. What is it called?
I bet it's terrible.
It doesn't. Marty Supreme. Do we know what this movie is even about?
Oh, his name's Marty Supreme?
Yeah, I guess.
I bet it's not Marty McFly and go back to the 90s when she was hot.
There was a time. With Gwyneth. I feel like because of the stuff she's done with Goop, which is, by the way, the worst word in the English language, right?
Right.
It takes her from being an attractive woman to like,
Pornhub category?
Yeah, and not one you click on. It's like down the line. Like you got to scroll and scroll and scroll until you see it. Let me finish this up. The Oscar winner went on to refer to Chalamet as a thinking man's sex symbol, adding to Vanity Fair, he's just very polite, properly raised. I was going to say kid. Again, your terminology needs to be improved. He is a man who takes his work really seriously, and it's a fun partner. So here they are making out on set. I think one of the things that's interesting about this is like, imagine if you were to say, you're in a movie, and you're like, there's an intimacy coordinator there. You're a dude, and you're with some much younger woman, and you're like, we don't need her. I feel stifled by my art to not be able to hook up with this 22-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
It's art I'm trying to do here, and you're stifling me as an actor.
If you In a heartbeat, the woman would own the studio.
Yes.
You would be banned from Hollywood.
Yes.
For all of that, if you were like, look, I'll be in control here. All right, everybody?
Right.
We don't even need cameras. Just get out of here.
Yeah.
Like,
guts.
It's, we should rehearse for a while, right?
Right? That is the Harvey Weinstein approach to filmmaking.
It really is. Where I'm sure she was told many times by him, like, we don't need an intimacy coordinator. It's fine.
Yeah, and this is a real, I hesitate because it is a legitimate double standard here.
Like,
it is a bizarre double standard. Now, maybe in comparison to the horrible things that were done by so many in Hollywood, it doesn't stand up. Probably Timothy Chalamet is like, yeah, this is great. I mean, I'm fine with it.
If I'm being honest about her appearance, I'd be like, oh yeah, I mean, look, she's making the rules. I guess you should leave.
Yeah, get out of here. I think that is a thing, but you see the parallels like throughout life, where like when the hot 27-year-old teacher hooks up with the student, everyone kind of just jokes about it, and it's hilarious, and we don't say statutory rape. Those words don't come out of anybody's mouth.
Those words didn't happen really until, yeah, they kind of stopped happening, I mean, when it involved a woman, I guess, being a predator to a guy, but I can't look at you and say that with any sincerity. Because every guy who's ever been in that position with the teacher would be like, yeah, I get
it. Oh, it was incredible, right.
Yeah, like you're just high-fiving everybody and fist bumping.
I want to say there was a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode about this where he's like, come on, you wouldn't really mind, right? Like, he's talking to a younger guy, like, you wouldn't really mind. And like, every guy kind of understands that, but like, I will say it hits you differently as you become a dad.
It does.
Because you're starting to think, wait a minute, like, you know, my kid's going to be in school. Like, I wouldn't think it was hilarious. Like,
no, if you had to meet the teacher.
Right.
Well, they're never this. They're never the, like, glorious. Well, I mean, a couple of them are to the point where you're like, look, not guilty.
Yeah.
But but when you see a lot of the cases, you're like, oh, God, no. She's got to go to jail.
Right.
Like, it's got to be taken seriously.
That is the standard. We put them in jail if they're ugly.
We do.
And we laugh and we make movies about it if they're hot.
Correct.
Right? And that's a bizarre standard.
We've proven men are terrible.
Yes.
Because we just run everything and we're like, look, if she's hot, she can go.
And that was a really hard thing to prove after Harvey Weinstein and so many others, that men are terrible. We really needed a lot of evidence.
Oh, yeah, we really needed one where he's like, here, I'm going to hang out with my plant. Like, but I'll say, look, for a role in a Quentin Tarantino movie, I'll watch him take a shower. I mean, what is it? That's nothing.
Right.
You know how much easier that is than having to work for 20 years?
Yeah.
It's way worse.
Right, you just erase a 35-minute scrub-a-dub, and that's about it.
Right, that's right. It. Like, I can
get in there with a loofah a little bit. I mean, like,
I'll help. I'll be like, look, I'm not going to get all the way in, but I'll take my shirt off and I can use my hands.
Yes.
But I get to be like the third lead. Like, we got to make sure the negotiation.
You do it for the third lead. David's
third lead.
Ladies and gentlemen,
well, I figure he's going to have DiCaprio or somebody in there or a Brad Pitt. But if I could just be third.
Right.
I'll watch the man take a shower. I'll go. It's fine.
Yeah. You're one of the men standing in the circle of people pointing guns at each other. That's plenty.
Think of all the men in the shower with him now who are like, can you believe we could have made it for what we see every day?
That's true. There's so many opportunities that I think people miss out there.
They really do.
We got to take a break. Yeah, Dave Landau is going to be here with us for a couple more minutes. We'll be back in just a second.
Bezahlen läuft für dich sowieso nur mit dem Handy? Dann hol dir doch was von deiner Kohle zurück. Denn in allen Restaurants und Bars gibt's jetzt 5% Cashback, wenn du mit PayPal zahlst. Tap dir mehr mit PayPal. Alle Infos gibt's auf paypal.de. 5% Cashback nur auf Einkäufe vor Ort in Restaurants und Bars in Deutschland bei kontaktloser Zahlung mit PayPal. Gültig vom 2. Juni bis 19. Juli 2026 für die ersten 850.000 berechtigten Kunden. Maximal 15 Euro Cashback pro Konto. Es gelten Bedingungen auf paypal.de.
We're back with Dave Landau. We were talking about this a little bit off the air because we were the Chalamet Gwyneth Paltrow age difference was the point of discussion, and we got into the Bill Belichick situation, a former coach of the New England Patriots, now at UNC.
Yes.
And he is dating someone who looks like she's a student at UNC.
Yes, her shoes light up
yes.
when she walks away. She's wearing Heelys and skating around.
skating. Yes. It's fascinating. It's a fascinating thing that happens so often in society, where a successful man winds up dating someone 20, 30, sometimes 40 years their junior, usually very attractive. And like, I've had battles with friends of mine before who are just like, this is just not possible. Like there is, it's a disgusting relationship in which the guy is obviously taking advantage of her for sex, and she's using the sex to get, you know, whatever money or power or whatever they're after.
Right.
And certainly that's true almost all of the time.
Correct.
However, I do think it's, I mean, am I a romantic here? Isn't it possible? Like, I look at the Bill Belichick photos where he's like balancing her on the beach. He's got his legs up in the air and he's balancing her in the air. And I'm like, they look like they're like teenagers. Like, I don't know. Maybe he's just happy.
Yeah, that does require a level of happiness. Like, that's not a thing that I would do.
No. honestly could do. I have weak legs.
Yeah.
I'm leg day all the time.
Yeah, I'm 40. I don't need it. I can't do this.
But I can barely get out of my car.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't. Good for him. Yeah. Good on him. But it's true. Like, if you are a guy like, it's like the Billy Joel thing you were saying earlier on break. Like, does she really love him? Well, maybe. Like, she sees him rock an entire stadium, sees him as confident and attractive because of what he's been able to do. There's probably an actual attraction level there and not just money.
Right.
The money helps. Don't get me wrong. Like, but there's no, it's not like you're going to be left in a will necessarily, or it's going to be all smooth sailing.
Right.
So you kind of, it's tough to say, but it there's got to be some level of where you actually want to be there.
Yeah, I mean, like, look at, this is a sad story from recent memory here, but Gene Hackman.
Right.
What was confusing about that, and why something like that could happen, where he's 95 and winds up dying after she's died.
And Yoko's rewriting his will.
Right, yeah.
Like, no kids. Oh, yeah. I get all the money. Then she dies first.
Yeah,
she dogs dies. Eating her.
No, it's yes, you made it worse. You made the story worse.
I like to, successful. I love Gene Hackman.
No, I know.
I feel like he was being manipulated for a good decade, but sorry.
Yeah. I mean, it very well might be true.
Yeah.
But like, you know, again, she's 30-something years his junior. The only reason that can happen, really, because you'd think, like, most of the time, if you have two elderly people in their 80s and 90s, there's probably someone there helping out all the time. She's in her 60s. She can still be the only one that would help. And that's why when she dies unexpectedly, he's just, like, wandering around the house. It's an awful story for
him. It's a horrible story. Yeah, he has dementia, and he was all dressed up.
Right, yeah. Which, oh, my God.
Yeah, like, when they found him, like, well, I think he thought he was going to the 1973 Oscars.
Right, yes.
And then he just died.
Yes, and he would have won.
I think in 4 days. He would have won.
He would have won. My point is not exactly that. My point is that, like, this is all we have as guys. All we have to attract a woman is, hey, we're successful. We can make money. We might have, you know, like some level of stature. We don't have anything else. We're hideous.
Yes, we're awful creatures.
Awful creatures.
Oh, yeah.
The female form is beautiful.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. There's nothing like it.
Guys are frumpy. Like, there's lumps and just fat.
Do you know how
dehydrated
you have to make a man in a movie and, like, spray him with mist to make him look attractive?
Yes.
Like, you need an intimacy coordinator, obviously, as we discussed earlier. But it's like, you have to do all these things to make a man even remotely appealing. You're like, just shave his whole body.
Everything that's not natural.
Yeah.
Like, you have to work out 24 hours a day. You have to slather him with oil after you shaved his body, and there's like 11 guys who can pull this off. They're all on Instagram or in movies.
Right.
There's no other, these men don't exist in real life.
Well, no, and it used to be like Tom Selleck or Burt Reynolds, who, when you think about it, their bodies were interchangeable. It's just a
yes.
mountain of hair.
Hair.
And we all accepted
yes.
it. They had a mustache, and it's just what, like, they had hair that would go, chest hair that would go up their neck and start tickling their chin.
Yes.
And it was like, that's a man. But now we've even taken that away.
These are the good old days.
Yeah.
We're like, does Tom Selleck have abs? Who knows?
No one cares.
You can't see.
Yeah.
It's just hair.
Yeah, it's a forest.
It's a forest, and you have no idea what lies beneath.
And
that was the right way to go.
Yeah, and Robin Williams was hideous. Look, he was wearing a sweater. But it's like, but people were attracted to him based on the fact that he was funny
yes.
to them. So yeah,
that's what we have, though. Funny, successful, rich, some sort of power or stature, right? Like, that's what we have. Like, that's looked down upon, right? But that is what men have to attract women.
They do.
We don't have the physical beauty. There's not a way to do that,
no.
largely.
No, there's like Chris Rock had a great bit about that, where he's like, there's a coldness a man has to accept that if he's not providing and he's not giving that to somebody, that he's not liked. Like, he yes. can't be loved if he's not able to provide.
You die alone.
And that's, yeah, you die alone. You've never met a Bill Belichick looking guy who's not successful
right.
with that 20 something.
Never. It's never occurred.
Right. So there's got to be a level of attractiveness in that, because that's what women are looking for anyway. Mm-hmm. It's like, what are you going to get? So what if he's a 40? So now all of us are, he's 35. So now he's a 10. He's still a guy.
He's still a guy.
We're still gross. We fart. We don't eat well.
Yes, we still do those things.
We have breasts sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, they're beautiful.
Yeah, but, you know? On men, yes.
They get bigger.
Yeah, they,
over
oh, they
the
do.
Years. They get
they
bigger,
do.
A little saggier, lower.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
those things happen to guys, too.
Yeah, except it's way worse.
And so that's what we do. And again, like, I guess there's this sexism, like, critique of American and human society where, like, well, why is it that women have to use their beauty? Why can't they use, you know, their power, their success, their those attributes?
Because they have beauty naturally.
Right. And it's easier.
It's why I don't like the idea of a boss woman. It's like, you can't be all successful and hot.
Right. That's too much.
Yeah. You got to pick one. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, now I'm just uncomfortable. What are guys here for then?
Yeah. Right.
So you're the provider and you're hot. And no, that's not okay.
There's nothing left.
We set up our society so guys would be in power, so that wouldn't happen. So they would still be attracted to us. And we've ruined it, Stu.
Yes, we're blowing up the whole natural order of
yeah,
things.
Yeah, like the beginning of feminism, you're like, yeah, take your shirt off, burn your bra. Oh, it's horrible. You know, and mm-hmm. but now, like, they're actually being successful, and that, it's got to stop.
It's got to stop.
It's got to stop. They're not going to be attracted to us. They're all just going to be lesbians, and I don't even blame them. Right. I'm technically one.
Right, yes.
I get
only
it.
Women. This was the thing when the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky thing happened. Like, people were just like, can you believe a guy with all this power in the world would risk it all to hook up with some young woman? Well, yeah, it's actually like a story that's repeated itself a million times. They didn't all look like Monica Lewinsky. I think he could have shot maybe a little bit higher at that point.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
like a lovely person.
Yeah, but look at the, yeah, I mean, she does, yeah. But look at the cankles he was married to.
Yeah, right.
I mean, really,
that's
anything.
That's an improvement.
Oh my God, anything walking in the room, a garbage pail kid would have been better off. So yeah, I mean, I don't blame him at all when he's married to this, like, you knew she, like Hillary, would you, no. That's no, a cold, icy, I bet you that seems fake.
But that's the reverse, right? Like, Hillary did have the stature.
Yes.
She did have the success in business at some level. She was a lawyer. She obviously rose up. She did a bunch of stuff.
Killed many people.
And like, why? Like, because that is, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's attractive to liberals. Like, but like, I think like a beautiful woman who was able to do that would be very attractive to me. But, you know, like, I don't, there's no part of me that's like, yeah, she's kind of hideous, but she's got a great 401k. Like, that's not something that connects with guys at all.
No, not a real guy. It would make you uncomfortable.
Right.
Yeah, you would. I'm happy with a woman's looks, but it's like, I need you to be moderately successful. Let's not go nuts. You know, like, let's just, well, what, right here.
What's the line here?
You know what I mean? Like, let's, you got 50 grand a year and you're doing all right.
Right.
You're doing all right, kid.
Wow, you are really, you're just the ultimate feminist.
Yeah, like, I
can
think,
see.
But it's the idea.
We've got a salary cap. Yes. You've instituted a gender-based salary cap.
Yeah. Just saying, like, that's, it shouldn't go way higher than that, you know?
Okay.
And if it does, we should stop it.
Do you have to get less attractive as your salary goes up?
You do.
Okay.
You have to stop wearing certain makeups. You can't have any hair dye. There's just something, yeah, you can't, like, it's out the window. There's no plastic surgery. Botox is unavailable to you.
Okay, so you,
age.
Okay. You.
Yeah, like, if you are a billionaire and a woman, you have to look the worst you possibly look.
Okay.
It should be a law. So, and I'm not saying that to be misogynistic.
I think you are.
No, I'm just saying.
That's not your intent. You just are doing it.
It's just going to keep society from crumbling.
Okay. So this saves society. You, as the commissioner of society, this is your new role. You're the Roger Goodell of the world.
Correct.
Essentially.
Well, because the guys were going to lose out here.
Yeah, I mean, it is a problem. I mean, we're not doing well right
now.
No,
we're not. Our stock is dropping, and if we don't start standing up for ourselves,
it could be a problem.
They're going to rule the world.
Is there a, you know, how Stella got her groove back element to this, where like if you are a successful businesswoman, you're then hooking up with the, you know, meathead moron from the gym who's 25 years old, but will never achieve anything above part-time personal trainer status.
That's acceptable.
That's okay.
That's acceptable because that's somebody for her to abuse, so she doesn't take it out on other people in society.
Okay, so this is almost like an employee benefit for the other people who work with her.
You get a punching bag who basically has no idea how the world works.
Wow.
Just a complete idiot, and chances are he teaches you how to play tennis, whatever you have him for.
Right.
You know, but he's not a real person. He's sort of just like, wow. he just exists in the world.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, oh, I see she's got herself a young guy. And then when you talk to him for 3 seconds, you're like, oh boy, I see he's impaired.
Right.
You know, like that.
Not a lot of two-syllable words coming out of that.
No, none whatsoever. And that's okay.
That's okay.
He's a prop.
Does he know what happens to him as he ages?
I think he's just got to try to get as much money as humanly possible. I think you just keep going to her and saying you need money for stuff like a junkie, and then you just take that money and you got to hoard it.
But the person you're describing is not coming up with a good investment plan, Dave.
Well, no, they need help from somebody like us who's going to set him down and be like, look, you're a prop. You're not real.
Right.
So what you need to do is you have to start hoarding her money away.
Right.
Maybe even investing it. Mm-hmm. And because eventually you're going to grow out of these looks. You're not going to be a 25-year-old lifeguard forever.
No.
No.
It doesn't last.
Nope.
No. I mean, look at some of our beloved shows from the 90s that happened on beaches.
Oh, my God.
You look at them now, it's not the same story.
It's not at all.
No.
That's a lot of the women, too, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of them.
You know, gravity always wins.
Gravity does always win, and with Baywatch, a lot of them are still very beautiful.
Sure.
I met Pam Anderson. She was stunning.
Oh, really?
I did. I'm going to just name drop.
Yeah.
But she kissed me, and then I got Hep C, turned yellow, almost died. No, I did, but...
You were defending her for a moment.
No, she was gorgeous.
Yeah,
I met her, I was like, wow, she really is, like, this stunning... Because everybody's called her names, and then you meet her, and you're like, no, she's absolutely
There
beautiful.
Is a reason why this happened in her.
There's a reason she was a star.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, but look at Hasselhoff on that. Now his looks go away. He's drunk eating a cheeseburger off a bathroom floor. Why? Because men don't have that
like
same...
Like the pinnacle of male existence, I think, was that David Hasselhoff video.
Yeah, it's like he was like this,
floor.
And then because he was not the person he once was and couldn't obtain the women that he once obtained, he's eating McDonald's off of a toilet.
That's the narrative of David.
That's correct.
You just wrote the biography.
I did.
Of David Hasselhoff.
Mine was more in depth.
yeah, slightly more. You do have, by the way, a biography coming out.
I do.
An autobiography.
Yes, it's not as misogynistic. I wasn't trying to sound as bad as that was, but women.
I mean, you're not going to sell any books to women after
no,
that segment.
No, probably not.
No.
But women are just gorgeous, and men can't keep up with that. That's okay. What I'm saying.
Oh, so that's your. You're now trying to get them back in the book buying mode.
I'm saying they're born too pretty to have money that they've earned themselves.
Oh, you're being very successful. This is marketing 101 here to females. Party of One is the name of it, by the way.
Party of One, which is what I'm going to be left with just me.
In your society, are women allowed to learn to read? Is that something that you...
Oh, yeah, they can read. They can read for sure. I mean, nothing too dense. This book's perfect. About 200 pages.
Again, no two-syllable words.
No, it's very simple.
It's Party of One. It's available wherever you get your books. April 3rd, you can pre-order it now?
You can pre-order it now, the Kindle, I guess. And then you have to for the... I don't know why they make these rules.
I forgot about this rollout. DaveLandau.com, people go there.
DaveLandau.com, they can click on it, tour dates, all that stuff.
Yeah, where's the tour? Anything coming up?
Let's see. This weekend I will be at the Roxy on Saturday with Michael Loftus and Don Jameson. First show sold out. Second one has a few seats left.
What city would that be?
In Rochester, Michigan.
There you go, Rochester.
That's what I meant to say.
Yes, you did. Okay, so go check Dave and get the book. Of course, Dave, thanks so much for coming on, man.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Chuckles Schumer is having quite a freaking week. Amazing. The left hates him now, I guess, because he didn't shut down the government, which I thought was the thing that they didn't like, over the spending bill, which just locked in all of the spending that we were already having and didn't really cut much of anything. I don't know why. It's such a bizarre story, but it's just become, it's not sensible. It's just one of these things. It's like an AOC litmus test, right? Like, You had to do this thing to show that you're super strong against Donald Trump, even though it would have accomplished absolutely nothing. Well, at the same time, he wrote a book on anti-Semitism. Now, interestingly, a good chunk of his party are a bunch of anti-Semites. So that's why he wrote it. And he actually admitted this. He said Schumer, who he wrote his new book on anti-Semitism in America, particularly to the left. Because, look, I got news for you. There's not really a reason to write a book on anti-Semitism unless you're focusing on the left, or unless you're, I don't know, you're trying to sell books in, you know, in Gaza. Right. Like, of course, there is a lot of anti-Semitism around the world, but it is mostly now coming from the left. There's some on the right as well, but it's mostly coming from the left. Pelosi is pissed off at Schumer. She says, I wouldn't give away anything for nothing, basically saying that they should have negotiated some magical solution to this. I got to say, I'm no Chuck Schumer defender here. But if I was on the left, why would I care? I mean, usually what happens with presidents is they become less popular over time. Things go awry. You can move in and make your move. For some reason, they think he needed to take some big stand here on day one. We'll see how this turns out, but it's fun watching liberals eat liberals.